Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast, guys. As always, I am your host, Kenny G. And today, on the 23rd of September, the second day of fall officially, on this beautiful, cloudy, gloomy day in Kansas City, I'm coming to you today with a recap of NFL Sunday, College Football Friday, and Saturday, as we look forward to two Monday Night Football games and Thursday Night Football. And yeah, today, guys, it's going to be a long one, but let's get into it. First, man, we're going to kick it off with Chiefs and Falcons. Get that game out the way. That's when I got the most to say. But before I get into that, man, if you guys know, you listened to the podcast before, you know how I hit big on Thursday Night Football, Chiefs versus Ravens. Your boy hit up for two bands on FanDuel. One of my first ever bets, well, on FanDuel, I'm not going to lie. You know, when I was on my underdog stretch, that was pretty bad as well during the NBA playoffs. But yeah, man, one big off of that. But since then, your boy's been 0-8, and all I've been questioning myself and asking myself is, man, do I know ball? Every Sunday I load this thing up and, you know, I give it a try and I think I'm gonna hit it. I think this is the one, and it fails me every time, man. When I look at Sunday, I told you guys on Friday some things I was gonna do, and I changed that all up, man. On for the Chiefs and Falcons, your boy had the Chiefs spread, in which they did cover, but I had Travis Kelce over on his yards and a touchdown for him. He didn't deliver, but Kyle Pitts did, with one big ass catch, man, on Justin Reed. For my money line, I just put four teams together thinking they would do something. The Packers and Ravens, they handled their business. But the Texans and Dolphins, my God, got embarrassed. So I lost on that. But luckily, I had a no-sweat token. So I used this for my touchdown parlay, you know. And Nico Collins, Josh Jacobs, and DJ Moore, they fucked your boy over, man. Derrick Henry at least got into the end zone. But yeah, it's been pretty rough. And all I got to ask is, do I know ball? I'm starting to question myself, man. NBA season hasn't even started yet. And I'm looking like I'm going to have zero momentum going into the NBA season. I got to lock in. I got to get my head on a swivel. But let's get into Chiefs and Falcons. If you remember, guys, I had the Falcons winning this game, and I think they should have won it. You know, I think they had two chances at the end of the game to take the lead and stop our offense, but, you know, that didn't go the way. But I thought the Falcons did play a good game, especially missing two starting linemen, which was a crazy fact to see in person that, you know, these guys just lost two of their starting linemen. And the Chiefs still didn't really take over the game like I thought they should have. Offensively, it was just another, I think, mediocre night, especially from Patrick Mahomes. Threw an interception to his the devil's favorite safety, Justin Simmons, man. He just can't stop messing up when Justin Simmons is on the other side of the ball, man. But he threw the ball 39 times, 26 completions, 217 yards, two passing touchdowns, and interception. It was just, I think, another mediocre game. But, like, Rashee Rice completely blew my expectations out the water for this game. I thought he would be limited, but he clearly wasn't. He dogged out with 111 receiving yards and a touchdown with 12 catches. Juju, with two catches on the day, got a touchdown, 17 yards. Carson Steele was able to tote the rock good, 74 yards on the ground with 17 carries. Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy were ghosts on the field. Kelce had 30 yards for four catches, and Worthy had two catches for 30 yards, and just the rest of the offense was just ghosted. Harrison Butker made three field goals, but offensively, it was just another mediocre night. And, you know, for the Chiefs, I want them to lose a game so, you know, they can fully get their head on the swivel, because all they do is win a game with a mediocre offense. All week, talk about how they need to perform better, this and that, and then we get to Sunday and they don't perform better. It's the same stuff. It's like, okay, we win games barely, but your offense still is mediocre, and I don't appreciate that, man. We need to play better, and we didn't yesterday. On the Falcons side of things, Bijan Robinson signed, Kyle Pitts showed up, and Kirk Cousins was dealing. I thought Kirk Cousins, you know, did really well for the position he was in. He got pressured a lot, blitzed, popped, and he handled business. He had 230 yards, one passing touchdown, and one interception. Came via of a hit in the back, boom, threw it up, caught the ball, which I think Chamari Connor got it. But yeah, Drake London, he had a great game in my opinion. 67 yards, one touchdown, six catches. Wide open on his touchdown as well. Shout out Drew Tranquil. Darnell Mooney had eight catches on the night with 66 yards. Ray McLeod did a little something. Tyler Algier. I mean, their offense was just, they were just a bad 4th-and-1 call away from possibly winning this game. I just, nobody in America agreed with an outside run on 4th-and-1 when you got Bijan. Or you got Kirk Cousins to sneak it, but of course Kirk Cousins with the previous Achilles injury, you're probably not going to sneak it, but we've seen Andy Reid do this thing. You can put a backup tight end, a running back, somebody to sneak the ball and they can get it going. But yeah, they were just one bad call away from potentially beating us. I think they should have. Defensively, I thought they played a good game, you know. Justin Simmons, Jesse Bates just made plays all night, proving why they are the best safety duo in the league. A.J. Terrell showed up. Matthew Judon was able to get some pressures. He had a QB hit on the night. Overall, the Falcons look really good in my opinion. So I think they are still in contention with the NFC South. Of course, a couple episodes ago, I said this is the Bucks division, but now the Falcons look exactly what I thought they would be before. So I think it's gonna be a battle between them and the Saints, which we'll get into the Saints in a few minutes. But yeah, overall, I'm still disappointed with the Chiefs. They have the Chargers next week. I think Justin Herbert re-aggravated his ankle sprain, so he might not be able to play, but that doesn't change nothing for the Chiefs' standpoint on offense, where you need to move the ball, you need to be better. Because Justin Herbert, of course, is a quarterback for the Chargers. Defensively, that could mean a better game for us because, I mean, yay, you're not playing against a top six quarterback in the league, so that's going to be good for you. But offensively, I think Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack will still be there. Derwin James, of course, can pop off occasionally. So, yeah, man, I'm just still disappointed, but I can get into the Chiefs and Chargers later down in the week. But overall, a 5-point win. They covered the spread. Defensively, I thought they did well for the team they played. I thought Atlanta has a fire offense, and they did well, man. There were some points of the game defensively and offensively where this game could have been a lot smoother, and they could have won by way more. But once again, offense and the red zone calling is continuing to just be bad. Travis Kelce, is he a decoy? Is he just not getting open? Patrick Mahomes for sure needs to be a player. He hasn't played like the best quarterback in the league the last 3 weeks, which he still is until somebody beats him in the playoffs. Somebody gets multiple Super Bowl MVPs, multiple rings, multiple MVPs, then don't talk to me about who the hell the best quarterback in the league is. It's still Patrick LeVon Mahomes the second, man. He's still the king of the throne, but he does need to play better. I hope in SoFi Stadium we get a better performance from him and Travis Kelce. Rashee Rice, I will count on to show up. Xavier Worthy, he has to do something. But if we're sitting here, what, early November, late October, and this offense is still bad, and your only playmaker is Rashee Rice, it's time to look at the trade options. Because who knows? One thing I'm watching Xavier Worthy, he's getting used like what Rashee Rice was getting used his rookie year, which was this. You're just out there. You'll get a few plays, but you're just out there. We're really not focused on you. Just like what Andy Reid did last year. Travis Kelce, man, you just got to hope he plays better. It's been a bad, I guess, 12 hours or so, 16 hours of Swifties and Chiefs fans on my timeline. Oh, just disgusting, man. But overall, I was impressed by the Falcons. I was once again disappointed by the Chiefs. I just want this team to perform better, man. Watching the offense last year, I hated what I was watching. It annoyed me every game, and I don't want to see the same thing happen. Granted, yes, we're missing Isaiah Pacheco and Hollywood Brown. If Hollywood was here and Isaiah Pacheco was still healthy, everything has changed. Everything's a little different, but unfortunately, that's not how it is. I still think we are a good enough offense to still make things pop, but we haven't yet. And that's because of Patrick Mahomes' plays, his play, Andy Reid's play calling inside the red zone in general. All that combined, plus the injury of Isaiah Pacheco, will lead you to a mediocre offense at best. Patrick Mahomes needs to be better, and I believe he will be better. For Travis Kelce, though, and everybody else, they need to step up. I thought Wanya Morris had a good game. Granted, the Falcons' pass rush really isn't all that. His real test is next week on the road versus Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. So that's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, Chiefs win this one by 5. I was highly disappointed watching him. I'm impressed with the Falcons, though. They played really well in a big game. Raheem Morris had some questionable calls, But yeah, congrats. I was about to say congrats to the Falcons, excuse me. But yeah, Chiefs won by 5, man. Falcons did look good, but on to the next game. Man, how long do we think Nick Sirianni's got in Philadelphia, man? I think he was a few plays away from getting told a lot of harsh things were gonna get yelled at towards him and his family if they lost his game. You know how Philly fans are. No disrespect to all the Philly fans I know, man. But yeah, the Saints and Eagles was a good game. I'm 50-50. I like defense. I like offense. I'm a middle guy, man. I love to see some good offense and some good defense. But yesterday it just looked like a defensive game by far, especially by the Eagles defense. For the Eagles, despite only producing 15 points, the Eagles offense had 460 total yards offensively. Saquon had 156 scrimmage yards and 2 TDs. He shined yesterday, proving all the insiders, all the fans and haters that he would have no true impact on this team. He's 100% stepping up for this offense that is desperately missing AJ Brown. But for Jalen Hurts, he had a quiet 300-yard game yesterday. He had 311 yards and a touchdown. Still looked a little rough, of course, without AJ Brown. But I mean, hell, AJ Brown, a top five receiver in my opinion in the league. You're gonna look a little shaky with missing him. But Dallas Goedert was well stepped up in the passing game. He had 10 catches with 170 yards. He had a big third down conversion. I think I was able to watch off a red zone. But yeah, for Devontae Smith, you got to hope he is okay after a late hit to the head. Luckily, I don't think it has been any announced anything serious, but you just got to hope he doesn't miss any time and he's healthy. After the injury, though, a lot of news is getting speculated. A lot of news on Twitter, that Peyton Turner, the Saints DN out of Houston, number 98, spit on Smitty while he was on the ground. But Peyton Turner himself replied to a tweet saying, "Yeah, dude, you got this all wrong, dude. Lies and stuff." He said something. He just said he didn't do it. He would never do it. I'd believe him because, I mean, hell, that is a respect thing in life. Athletes, real life, you never spit on a person. I mean, that's common sense, right? So why would you spit on a fellow athlete, a fellow brother on the ground, gonna spit on him while he's hurt? I don't think he did. He might have spit on the ground, but probably not at Smitty. But I mean, who knows? I'm gonna believe Peyton Turner. I think Philly fans, ultra harsh, and they're gonna be a little angry, especially if they feel like shots are getting called towards them or their team. But yeah, you just gotta hope Smitty is okay. As for the Saints offense, you gotta ask yourself, is Derek Carr back to normal form or was this a good Eagles defense? Derek Carr, he only had 142 yards with a tutty and an interception. Alvin Kamara, though, still continued to look like his old self, man. He had 127 scrimmage yards with another great game. Chris Olave had himself a good game, 81 yards and a touchdown. Defensively, both teams, like I said, were doing good. This was a defensive game, but I think the Eagles shined out the Saints more. Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis of the former Bulldogs, man, the duo inside, they dominated, man. Jalen Carter was the highest graded Eagle on defense yesterday. Thumbs down to the Saints players and fans talking all the shit after the game, man. He deserved, man. He balled out. He had multiple pressures. I think he had a sack that day. Jordan Davis ate up. As for the Saints defense, Tyrann Mathieu, shout out to Honey Badger, had himself an interception. Look, he ain't all washed. CJ Gardner-Johnson talking shit on Tyrann on the offseason, this and that. Speaking of CJ Gardner-Johnson, that guy stinks, man. He is the biggest trash talker for a bad player in the league, man. I know everybody doesn't like the Chiefs nowadays, but you got to be grateful that the Chiefs prevented the Eagles winning. Because, hell, if you're not an Eagles, if you don't appreciate Eagles fans or Philly fans, you probably would have been upset if they won regardless. But CJ Gardner-Johnson, I don't find it that anybody in the league likes him, excluding Eagles fans, man. The guy's a major trash talker. So imagine if he had that Super Bowl ring, how bad it would have been on that night and the whole offseason and seasons going forward, man. But that's off topic, anyways. He is a bum, though. I mean, if I think about a guy in college that reminds me of him, kind of gives me a little Shiloh Sanders vibes, but we're not going to talk about Shiloh. He's injured, but I wish him the best in recovery. But the Saints lost to the Eagles 15-12 as both teams looked to bounce back with better offensive performance, but their defense, that was spectacular. All right, fellas, real quick question we got to ask ourselves. When I was watching the Chargers Steelers off red zone, of course, shout out my boy Scott Hansen, I had to ask myself, is Justin Herbert on the Andrew Luck trajectory? Of course, Herbert, in that I think his fifth year, really hasn't had as serious as head injuries as Andrew Luck once had, but he's getting injured multiple times a year. Not saying it's all serious, but the guy gets banged up a lot, pause. And with this grade three ankle sprain, that's probably going to keep him out of the Chiefs game as well. Gotta ask yourself, man, is he on that trajectory? I don't think so yet. He's going to have a serious injury, which I'm not wishing on, man, but when I think about starting QBs that get banged up a lot, he's unironically with two of his other draft classmates, which is Joe Burrow and Tua. In hindsight, I just put that connection together that if I think about the three most injured quarterbacks in the league currently, it would be Tua, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. Both guys, all three guys in their fifth years, man, and they've all had significant injuries that have kept them out multiple games. And you just got to hope those guys stay healthy, especially Tua with the head injury. Joe Burrow with the ACL, the wrist last year, and then Herbert with these nagging injuries he gets nearly every year, man. You got to hope these guys stay healthy. But yeah, with grade three ankle sprain, I don't think he's going to play against the Chiefs, which is bad news for the Chargers. Overall, though, for the Chargers offense, they just could have handled the Steelers defense. I mean, just a great defense led by TJ Watt. Unless your offense is top tier, especially your O-line QB play, you're going to struggle against the Steelers team, man. Quentin Johnson showed up once again, though, for the damn Chargers, man. He had a touchdown, I think over 40 yards, but the biggest difference of the day was the five sacks the Chargers O-line gave up to the Steelers. I think TJ Watt got one of them, but for the Steelers, it's looking like it will be Justin Fields' job to lose. He has looked so much better as a quarterback in the pocket compared to other years, man. He had 245 yards through the air and a touchdown with one interception. Fields had five receivers over 30 yards, and Najee Harris himself had 70 rushing yards as well. I think regardless if Russell Wilson is healthy or not, you're going to bank on and keep going with Justin Fields until he proves you wrong. Until he does something bad, you keep Justin Fields, man. The younger guy, the quicker guy. You just got to keep him going for it. But for the Steelers, they continue to impress. Now they are 3-0, and for the Chargers, they are 2-1. What was one of the more surprising games of the day? You had Buccaneers versus Broncos. The Broncos finally look like the team I believe them to be preseason. A defense led by Patrick Surtain II smothered the entire Bucs offense, only allowing 7 points on the day. Bo Nix had a clean game, like I said, he needed to have, win or loss. Just what he needed. He had 25 completions for 216 yards. Overall, the Bucs just had a bad game out the gate. They just looked out. They had no energy. They just weren't locked in and really focused. I mean, every team in the NFL has a game like that. But no, they're not doomed or nothing, but they just need to come out the gate a little better versus teams that are less superior to them, in their opinion, in that organization. But Denver gets their first win on the win column. As for the Bucks, get their first L. NFC South is going to look like an amazing title race to watch all year. As for the Broncos, you got to hope they start to turn it around and get more momentum and wins if they look to hopefully get that seventh spot in the AFC. In this game, I had the Texans on upset alert on Friday. I thought, you know what? This is a typical game they could lose. I got the Vikings, this, that, and that. The Vikings ended up coming clutch, man. They proved me right. Just like the Bucks, the Texans came out flat, and that same energy kept with them the whole game. They looked flat the entire game, especially offensively, man. The Vikings was just undeniable. The duo of Sam Darnold and Jay Jettas, whew, what a combo. I mean, these guys lit up the scene. Justin Jefferson's had less than 100 yards, but I mean, his impact was there, right? I mean, he's like a decoy. If he's not eating up, he's a decoy. Other people are going to have eyes on him. He took out the best corner, Derek Stingley, as I think they had a matchup nearly the whole game. Darnold only threw for 181 passing yards, but still threw four touchdowns. Aaron Jones looked like his Green Bay self. He had over 100 yards rushing Sunday afternoon, while Jay Jettas had six catches, 81 yards, and a TD on the day. On defense, they sent a message to the whole league, stopping one of the most fire-powered offenses in the league to only 7 points. As for the Texans, you forget and move on. This is a game, a trap game, or just a upset, whatever you want to call it for them, man. They lost and they just got to move on. Your season's not done. None of this means anything. You just lost to, I think, what is a good Vikings team that just had way more fire and momentum than you did. But I mean, it is what it is. You come out the gate flat, just like the Bucks did, and that energy stays with you while the other team builds up energy and keeps momentum rolling. It's all right. They'll bounce back. Joe Mixon didn't play this game, but it is what it is for the Texans. The Vikings showed out and showed up. They move on to 3-0, while the Texans fall to 2-1. For the Titans and Packers, man, in this early afternoon game, Malik Willis had his revenge game like I just predicted on Friday. Led by top two coach in the league, Matt LaFleur, they came out and they just outperformed the Titans. Outdid them. Man to man, mano a mano. They just outdid them, man. And that was a good performance from the Packers. Jaire Alexander, one of the best corners in the league, walked out with a pick six while Willis, he threw for 202 yards and a TD. When Malik Willis had Christian Watson and Jaden Reed to depend on all day, and they did show up. For the Titans, you just lost to a better team that day. Can't get any worse. You didn't really get blown out, but you did get handled. Again, Will Levis did disappoint through two interceptions on the day, and he needs to perform better if this Titan team wants to make any impact at all in the AFC, or they're going to have to cut ties with them this April when the draft comes around. But after the Pack, man, they take down another AFC opponent back-to-back weeks, and they go on to be 2-1 while the Titans fall to 0-3. Before I get into the next NFC North, AFC South matchup, forgive me if you heard my dog in the background. She gets a little excited when folks come into the house, but yeah, forgive me if you heard that one. But on this game, I got mixed opinions on the Bears' offensive performance yesterday. For Caleb, he played really well. 363 yards through the air, two touchdowns, but he did throw two interceptions. But that completely didn't keep them out the game. Rome Odunze had himself a day, though. The top 10 pick, 114 yards and one TD on the day. Shout out my guy Tyreek, though. Shout out Gorilla Man, because Cole Kmet, he showed out too. He had 90-plus yards on the day, man. As for DJ Moore, I keep gambling with him, man. I keep putting him on these parlays, these tickets. Like, he's finally going to break out. But he hasn't. I think it's time we start putting him on the back of milk cartons, dude. It's getting a little ugly. As for what makes me a little mixed about this game offensively, is because their rushing attack is so mid. And it's led by DeAndre Swift, who, of course, had another bad game, dog. He needs to play better, or he's got to go. At this point, running backs, he's making a good pay, too. He's not getting paid a lot, but he's making good pay. For his production these first 3 weeks, I kid you not, you could throw me some pads, and I promise you, I give you that production or better. But hell, who knows? But there's a lot of guys on the market, a lot of rookies, a lot of guys from practice squads that can give you the same production DeAndre Swift is for less price, but you're probably not going to cut ties with them, and I won't blame you. But next season, I don't know the details of his contract, but if it is multi-year, you got to think about other options. But if it's 1 year, deal with it with the 1 year and move on. But he's got to play better. I mean, you cannot have a rushing attack and have a rookie quarterback. A rushing attack is important for the rookie quarterback to lean on, man. And if you can't do that, then when he's flustered and the passing game isn't working, who are you going to depend on to get you wins? As of now, I can't say that's DeAndre Swift and his Bears O-line, but it was just a bad, I guess, another day for them rushing wise. Passing, I think Roman Dunze, Cole Kmet, Caleb Williams all had themselves great days. As for DJ Moore, he does need to show up a little more. Not saying it's all his fault, but he's gonna have a breakout game soon, trust. As for the Colts, due to a bad Bears offensive performance, not being up to the standard we know they can be, they survived with a great performance via Jonathan Taylor. For Anthony Richardson, though, he threw another game of multi picks at two of them on the day, and you just got lucky winning this game because if it's any other team, if any other team offense is clicking, you lose that game. Anthony Richardson just needs to be way more consistent. I would hate to see him out of the league or being a backup or a rotational guy just because he's not consistent enough. So you got to hope he performs better. But for the Colts, they finally get in the win column while the Bears drop back-to-back to AFC South opponents in back-to-back weeks. Giants, Browns, this was the game I kept my eyes on the least, man. I don't jack with the Browns at all, of course, with Deshaun Watson. I'm not saying that's not a reason to watch them or nothing, but for me, they don't have it. Without Nick Chubb, I'm really not interested in watching a game, especially with the fact that I will only probably catch them on red zone or rarely in a primetime game. I'd only kind of keep my eyes on Myles Garrett in that defense, but offensively, they disgust me. That team is ugh. So not really a lot of notes on this game, but Malik Nabers is the truth. Give him that title. Put him on a freaking every sign you can in Times Square, man. He is that guy. I know with the stats I'm about to give you, it wasn't groundbreaking. But once again, 82 yards and two touchdowns on the day was the whole offense for the Giants for nearly the whole game. Danny Dimes showed up. He had 236 yards. And of course, he threw the two touchdowns to Malik Nabers, but not too shabby. Myles Garrett left the game early yesterday through, I think his feet aren't perfect. I think he's got surgery on them, They're just not in the best health as of now, but he did have a great day, though. He had seven pressures on Andrew Thomas, who hadn't had more than four pressures in a game on him since 2020. But a good week for Myles Garrett. As for Watson and the offense, they stunk again. I mean, that's not going to be a good offense without Nick Chubb. Amari Cooper ain't enough to carry that offense, dog, but it was another shit performance from Watson and Co. on offensively, excluding Amari Cooper. But the Giants get a huge win as they roll into playing the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, and the Browns continue to smell like shit. For the Seahawks and Dolphins, guys, I entirely put too much stock into Skylar Thompson last week. He clearly isn't an NFL starting quarterback, man. Of course, I know he's a backup and this and that, but yeah, he did not do good yesterday. And I think he got hurt or banged up, and Tim Boyle came in the game, and yeah, that didn't work at all. The Dolphins only had 3 points on the day. Tyreek, Jalen Waddle, Devon Achane, all those guys were ghosts. And it was just an embarrassing performance. As for the Seahawks, though, they did finally have a good running game. Zach Charbonnet had 91 rushing yards and two TDs. Big Donkey Kong Metcalf had over 100 receiving yards again this week and one TD. The Seahawks sit alone at top of the NFC West as they are 3-0. For the Dolphins, they fall back-to-back weeks, are now 1-2. Now, for the Raiders and Panthers, man, all week I doubted Andy Dalton. When people said he could give them an extra boost and help, possibly lead them to a win versus the Raiders, I laughed it off. I thought, man, you know what? This guy hasn't played really in years and hasn't been that elite quarterback. We've seen him in a lot of years, but, I played it off. I'm like, you know what? He ain't gonna do nothing. He ain't gonna do jack shit. But by halftime, I was in awe. I was wrong. The Red Rifle threw dots all over the Las Vegas Strip, man. He killed it. He had 26 completions, 319 yards and three touchdowns. His best target, Deontay Johnson, had a great game with eight catches, 122 yards, and one TD on the day. You can only wonder, did we see Bryce Young start for the last time last week? We'll talk about that in a second. But as for the Raiders, man, could they move on from Davante Adams? Of course, he was obviously frustrated, I think, when they were going to halftime. At the end of the game, frustration was obvious in his eyes, his face, his demeanor. And Antonio Pierce, came out with some questionable comments after the game. I mean, how long does he have left? Because it was obvious Aiden O'Connell, Gardner Minshew, whoever the hell they were going to throw out there, wasn't going to be suitable enough for a talent like Davante Adams, especially in a division like the AFC West and a conference, in a wider conference like the AFC. You weren't going to swim with that. And now you're sinking. After a great win versus the Ravens, you sink to below and lose to the Panthers, man. I mean, it was just so obvious. Gardner Minshew wasn't going to produce much for you. Aiden O'Connell came in the game, and the same thing happened. Not much produced. For the Panthers, though, once again, the Red Rifle just killed it. I mean, Bryce Young, I don't know. I'm going to say this is an extra boost. I completely believe next week we'll see the Panthers fall back to what they are, and Andy Dalton will look pretty bad. But who knows? I could be very wrong, but I think that was just that extra boost. Deontay Johnson, though, it was good to see him get a breakout game this year. But for QB play for the Raiders, though, very disappointing, man. They brought this on themselves. The Panthers get their first win of the season via the Red freaking Rifle, while the Raiders fall to 1-2. My opinion, I thought this was game of the week. These two teams didn't disappoint. I'm talking about the Rams and Niners, man. The Niners, who are hampered by injuries, were blessed by the play of none other than Juwan Jennings. I played against him in fantasy, and it wasn't pretty at all. He flat out dominated me. He had 11 catches, 175 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Even without Debo, Christian McCaffrey, and George Kittle, the Niners combined for 424 yards of offense, but no one in a red jersey that day could deny Matthew Stafford. Stafford, the NFL vet, missing multiple starting alignment and his top two targets, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Stafford delivered beautiful balls all day to the likes of Tutu Atwell and others. Kyron Williams had himself a great game with 3 touchdowns and 116 scrimmage yards. In a late game thriller, the Rams walk off the Niners with a 37-yard game-winning field goal from Joshua Carty. The Rams get their first of the win of the season, while the Niners slide to 1-2. But we aren't just done with the NFC West yet. Run the damn ball, man. I mean, the Lions proved it to you by that win they had yesterday versus the Cardinals, as David Montgomery had 105 rushing yards and Jahmyr Gibbs had 83 rushing yards to go with 103 scrimmage yards. Amon-Ra St. Brown delivered again with 7 catches, 75 yards, and 1 touchdown, with one very questionable celebration for the touchdown. Go watch it if you haven't. Hard to describe. But big Aiden Hutchinson, former Wolverine, man, he had another sack on the day that allows him to keep campaigning for Defensive Player of the Year. He currently leads the NFL with 6.5 sacks. As for the Cardinals, Kyler and Marv connected once again this week. They unfortunately only produced 13 total points, but Marv gave the Cards their only touchdown on the day. For the Cardinals, you lost by 7 to a good team. That team was just better than you that day. And you still had a chance to stop them, get the ball again, but Jared Goff, his little fast legs got the first down on third down. But, you know, it is what it is for the Cardinals, man. And you just lost to a good team, and they look to bounce back next week. Lastly, we have the Ravens and Cowboys. Game of the week by Fox. Tom Brady on the call, man. And we were just a few plays away from the Ravens choking it all again, man. The Ravens were up 16 points in the fourth quarter. They nearly just dropped it to the Cowboys. I'm pretty sure they lead the NFL since Lamar has been their quarterback one in blown leads while up 7 or more points in the fourth quarter. And when I word it like that, I don't mean Lamar is the problem or reason. I think we clearly know it's John Harbaugh. I mean, he is a choke artist the last few years, but that is a whole conversation for when he eventually gets fired. I think it could be soon. Stay tuned. Who knows? Maybe I'm just predicting. But I think it would have been a bad week to lose because you have Josh Allen and the Bills next week. So if you lost this one, especially in a choking fashion, John Harbaugh would have been on a hot seat. But as of now, he isn't. He gets the Bills next week. Lamar and Derrick Henry, though, they tore up the field running the ball. Lamar himself had 87 rushing yards, while Henry looked like his 2021 self with 174 rushing yards and 2 TDs. For Dakota and the boys, they need to play so much better. You can tell the frustration is boiling in that offense. CD, their leading receiver and top target, couldn't help but be frustrated in the first half of yesterday's game. Lamb had 4 catches for 67 yards and a fumble inside his own 25-yard. So he can blame himself, too, for their struggles as well. As for Dakota, he had a solid day with 379 passing yards and 2 TDs, but him and the offense started to click way too late in the game, putting the game in the hands of their defense, which they failed. The Ravens are finally in the win column as the Cowboys drop back to back at home, man. But the Cowboys, man, Dak Prescott every week looks like he can come out without taking the blame, man. He's got his yards, he's got his touchdown, but as a whole, he needs to perform better, and such as that offense. For Mike McCarthy, he's got to get his boys locked in or he will be in Cancun by week 14. Guys, I know that was a lot of NFL coverage, but let's get into some college football, man. All right, guys, you remember I was talking about Friday's games on for college football preview, and two of them didn't disappoint, and I didn't talk about the third one. For the game I said keep your eyes on CW Network, I said, hey, Washington State University versus San Jose State University, I said that could be a classic. That could be a heater of a game, and it delivered. Washington State won by 2 and 2 overtime, man. Unfortunately, San Jose State failed to convert the 2-point conversion at the end of second overtime, which lost them the game, but That was a heater. If you were able to watch it, I hope you enjoyed it, man, because I put you on. I put you on game. Hopefully, if you're listening, you probably were already hit with that game and wanted to watch it. As for Nebraska and Illinois, man, he had a top 25 matchup in the Big Ten on Fox, and this game did deliver as well as it ended in overtime, man. Illinois walked it off with a touchdown. Dylan Raiola himself did have a good game, 297 passing yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception on the day. He had himself a good game. Illinois, they did good. I mean, the quarterback, Altmeyer, had 4 passing touchdowns and 215 yards, so it wasn't a bad day. Illinois proved to be the better team that day, of course. A lot of people said that was a great game. I couldn't unfortunately watch that. I couldn't watch none of the games on Friday. But hey, Syracuse and Stanford as well had a good game. I think it was a walk-off kickoff by their kicker, Mr. I think his last name is Kenny. He went 4 for 4 on field goals that night, and yeah, he allowed the Stanford team to win by 2 over Syracuse. And forgive me if I sound uneducated on these games because I quite am. I couldn't really watch highlights or look at the game. But in hindsight, I really wish I stayed my ass inside and watched college football on Friday night. For the first game I'm going to talk about, I'm going to get it out the way now. Missouri versus Vanderbilt. Oh my gosh, was my butt clenched when I was watching this game, dude. I was scared out of my mind that our top 10 season all come to an end because we couldn't stop Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt team, dog. I was scared out of my mind, but you know, they ended up coming out to do it. Offensively, Brady Cook needs to be better. We need better play calling from Elijah Drinkwitz. What I enjoyed the most out of this game, though, was Nate Noel being able to run the ball, dog. He had 109 rushing yards and he had 8 on the through the air. He was SEC Offensive Player of the Week for a reason. Luther Burden himself had 76 catches. Oh my God. 76 yards and 2 touchdowns with 6 catches, man. And I mean, he ate up the game. Brady Cook on paper looks like he did well, but I think he can be a little better for sure. I think this game at the end of the day came down to play calling and executing in the red zone. You had a missed field goal from Blake Craig inside the 20, and it was just a bad game overall. But you still came out the winner. You proved you can rush the ball, and our defense looked good. You know, I think that was a great learning lesson, hey, for Elijah Drinkwitz, that he needs to be a better play caller in certain moments. Brady Cook needs to step up. He admitted that after the game. Offense knows they need to step up as well, everybody else. Defensively, you walked out of the game with stopping Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt could have walked it off with a walk-off touchdown, but she stopped him, forced a field goal, and he hooked it left. I mean, my God, was that thing curved. But, you know, Mizzou falls 4 places, though, after that loss. You got Miami, Utah, Penn State, and Oregon all jumping over us, which I don't care. I think we'll be back in that position in a few weeks. Next game is at College Station versus A&M. A&M, who I think dropped out the top 25 after a mediocre performance versus Bowling Green. I'll look at that a little later. But, yeah, I mean, dog, I'm not upset with my Tigers. I'm glad we got the win because our season is still saved. The loss would have probably dropped us, what, 20 to 25 range? Or, hell, they could have dropped us out, man. They're not generous to us. I mean, we're the same team that got dropped out after beating Boston College when Tennessee blew out Kent State. But that's another conversation for another day on how the voters feel about Mizzou. But offensively, they need to be better. Rushing attack was perfect. Brady Cook can be a little better. Passing game can be too. Red zone offense needs to be way better, in my opinion. Blake Craig, he clutched up, so I can't get mad at him. Elijah Drinkwitz, his play calling needs to be better as well. His decision making. As for the defense, though, there were some questionable plays they gave up, but they at the end of the day, they did clutch up. So, go Tigers, MIZ. We're coming back for spot 11 right now. It's just something to hold. But once we beat A&M, we're going to jump right back into that top 10. College football playoffs, so us immediately, MIZ. Another notable game, man. It was a late night one. I had Kansas on upset watch, and my God, it was more than an upset. They got dominated, dog. Avery Johnson had himself a terrible game. He had 130 yards through the air, and he had 2 interceptions. I mean, just a bad day for the Wildcats offense. They only just give 9 points versus the Cougars. And, I mean, shout out BYU. They just came out on fire. Like, it's you could tell it's been like that all week for NFL and college football teams. Just teams coming out dead out the gate, and the upset, the underdogs coming out way better. So, shout out the Cougars, man. Pretty sure for the School of Mormons, they have a Jewish quarterback. So, let me see if I can pronounce his name. His name is Jake Retzlaff. Jake Retzlaff, man. Jewish quarterback for the Mormons. You know, congrats to him getting this big upset win. And I think they are now ranked. Real quick, you know, I want to shout out my boy Arch Manning, a big fan. Longhorns, you know. Arch had 258 passing yards with 2 touchdowns, but did throw 2 interceptions versus UL Monroe. He led the Longhorns, the number one team in the nation, to a 48-point win, 51-3 versus UL Monroe. And what was also a good game on Saturday, you had Aiden Childs and the Michigan State Spartans taking on the Boston College Eagles led by Thomas Castellanos. And For Aiden Childs, he had himself a bad game, my boy. Former Oregon State quarterback came in with Jonathan Smith. He threw three interceptions on the night with 241 yards, allowing Boston College to win this one by four. Thomas Castellanos had 140 pass yards with one touchdown. You know, they just had themselves a good game, winning by four. A good bounce back win after losing to Mizzou on the road. They stormed the field after this and that. But speaking of storming the field, let's talk about what was game of the night. Baylor and Colorado was another game I told you guys keep your eyes on. Hopefully I did. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I did. This game didn't disappoint, dude. Travis Hunter, one of the greatest players I've ever seen, making plays offensively, but most importantly, his small ass, I think he's, 170 pounds or less, forces a fumble. Craziest thing ever. Everybody storms the field without having confirmation of the play, but of course, we all know he fumbled, but what that would have been if they overturned it and realized it was a touchdown and the game kept going. What are you going to do without a field goal at the bottom? I mean, you're not going to use that side of the field, but hell, how are you going to get off 100-plus drunk college students, you know? These guys are assholes. I mean, you watch the postgame. I mean, these guys follow the players around, get pictures. I mean, Travis Hunter got chased by literal zombies postgame, but he made plays to Dorris Sanders. Throw your watch up. Bust out my AP, dog. He had 341 yards and two touchdowns. He threw an absolute dime with the Hail Mary. Excuse me, I said Hail Mary. His Hail Mary, dude, it was a dime, especially after Will Shepard dropped the third down catch. I mean, my God, I thought the game was over. I was getting ready to send out laugh my ass off at Deion Sanders, at Shiloh. But they still got the win, man. Baylor, in disappointing fashion, lost his one, but Colorado was 2.5-point favorites, and they stormed the field, but I'll let them have. I heard it was homecoming, I guess, but I'll let them have that. Can't get upset. But for Colorado, they got a tough. They still have a tough opponents down the schedule. They have Kansas State, Utah, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech. Shit, if you still believe in that Kansas squad, I don't. They, I can't wait to talk about Kansas in a second, but they are on the schedule. So, yeah, you know, it's not all easy for the Buffs. They got UCF, who's currently 3-0. So, hey, man, watch out for the Buffs or be ready for the collapse. As I was talking to you about college football without totally remembering that Kansas lost their third game in a row. What did I predict? I told my boy, Big Jayhawks guy, I said, hey, you guys are losing three or more games. He didn't believe me. He thought they were a 10-win squad. But I'm like, you know what? I got you guys losing three or more games. We almost put money on it, but I don't care. This is pride. This is more than money on the line. Jalen Daniels and that KU squad still look garbage. I mean, hell, they did score 28 points, but after a long rain delay in West Virginia, the boys couldn't finish out the game. I mean, come on. Who thought they were Big 12 favorites, college football playoff dark horses? Jalen Daniels, hell, who knows, man? He could get a Heisman vote or two. Nope. That shit's dead in the water. KU stinks again, and it's glorious. They're building a new stadium for a team that, hell, they're not really good. They're not good at recruiting, man. I'm going to just say that. They're not the best recruiters in the world, and they still won't be. I mean, not the best team in your state. And you look at the residing states, you're not better than Nebraska. Don't think you're close to any Oklahoma school. You're not close to Missouri, and Kansas State is still by far better than you. So, recruiting-wise, they're always going to struggle with that. You're losing Devin Neal, Jalen Daniels. You're losing those guys this year. Lance Leipold, what are you going to do, brother? You going to stick with it? What are you going to do, dog? Because, guys, I mean, let's be truthful. You're losing your top guys after this year. Kobe Bryant on the defensive side of the ball. You're losing your top corners, your top players. So, what are you going to do? You going to stick with the team? You're rebuilding a new stadium, but it's looking pretty dim, man. Gloomy out in Lawrence, but it's hilarious to watch because basketball season, they'll just run the table, get another national championship. But this is what I'll enjoy. I'll enjoy pissing on their grave for the next few months as Kansas Jayhawk football sucks. And before I move on to the next game, shout out West Virginia. I just wanted to piss on KU once again. Other games around the nation, man. Clemson, of course, dominated NC State like I predicted. Florida, Billy Napier to safe again for another week as they beat Mississippi State 45-28. Kentucky got a good win. Ohio State on Fox. Shout out Gus Johnson, the GOAT commentator, man. Let's look at some other games. I mean, Memphis lost to Navy in heartbreaking fashion. I mean, don't think it was heartbreaking, but I had Memphis as my G5 representative in the college football playoffs. I put my trust in these boys. I put my trust in another Tigers program, and they lost by 12 to Navy, man. That's disappointing. Louisville beats Georgia Tech. Texas Tech beats Arizona State, ruining their 3-0 season. In another heartbreaking fashion, what can I say? NIU loses to 3 by Buffalo in overtime. Heartbreaking for those Huskies because, hell, they kept rolling. They could have been a G5 representative. Hey, don't doubt the MAC. The MAC could represent somebody in the playoffs, the G5. The Baton Rouge guys, LSU, and the Dyer, he beat UCLA. The Bruins by a couple possessions. Utah squeaks by Oklahoma State, beating them by a field goal. Let's talk out Ollie Gordon's stats, man. My boy, Ollie Gordon, my God. 11 carries, 42 rushing yards. This is a big-ass drop-off. I think that was Cody Schrader's award last year anyways. SMU dropped 66 on TCU. Colorado State got a bounce back as they beat UTEP by 10. And yeah, I think that's it for the college football wrap-up, dog. Washington won by 19. Northwestern, only Northwestern, would score 5 points on the day. Tennessee, of course, beat Oklahoma by 5 points. Shout out my boy Nico. He had himself a good day. Of course, he threw 194 yards and a touchdown. You know, offensively, it wasn't the best for Tennessee, but, I mean, they handled business on the road versus the Sooners in Gaylord Memorial Stadium. I just remember that by heart. Jackson Arnold, though, could it be over for him? Could it be Joe over? He got benched through one interception. But Michael Hawkins Jr. looked impressive. He came in the game with 132 yards and one touchdown. He had 12 carries for 22 yards. I mean, could he be the replacement for Oklahoma? You know, they go through a gauntlet schedule. If you look at their schedule, they still got Auburn next week, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss. They got Mizzou, Alabama, and LSU. That is a tough schedule. And I mean, hey, there could be some changes by the end of it, man. Who knows how things will turn out for the Sooners. Some other few games, man. Connor Bazelak, former MIZ Tiger, almost got the upset versus A&M, only losing to A&M in College Station by only 6 points. Ole Miss handled business versus Georgia Southern. Oregon State, a Pac-12 school at by heart, but that dismembered conference. You know, they beat a Big Ten school in Purdue who took all their schools. They beat them by 17, man. But that looks like it will wrap up the college recap. Of course, there were good games all over the weekend, mainly on Friday. You had a few heaters on Saturday, but yeah, we'll look forward to on Friday talking about another week of college football. Let's get into some Monday night football. We got two games. Football Gods blessed us, a.k.a. Roger Goodell blessed us with two games tonight. We get the Jags at Buffalo and Washington at Cincinnati. Let's first get into the Jags at Buffalo, man. The Jags this season have only averaged 15 points per game compared to the Bills, 32 points per game. So, hell, yeah, it could get a little bad, and it could get bad in Buffalo for the Jags. But on paper, this very well could be, this could just mimic what's been going on in the NFL where teams who haven't won yet or teams that were doubting comes and beat the undefeated team. I think it very well could happen. We've just seen it with the Panthers and Raiders, even though the Raiders weren't undefeated, but still. We've just been seeing a lot of upsets in the NFL, and it could continue tonight. I'm thinking we do get an upset. It'll either come from the Jags or the Commanders. I think that either the Bills or Bengals are going to choke something, but back onto the Bills and Jags, man. Trevor Lawrence versus Josh Allen. James Cook active. Josh Allen, Khalil Shakir, Ray Davis, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman. That offense looking to pop off fireworks again. Well, for the Jags, of course, you got T-Law, Travis Etienne, Brian Thomas Jr., Gabe Davis, Everett Ingram. You know, it could be a very well firework kind of game, and I hope we get that, man. I want to see the Jags look good. I'm tired of Dougie P and the boys just looking like they're just clueless out there, man. But, I mean, you just got to hope the Jags can turn it around and get a win tonight. In my opinion, I think the Bills will win. I think they're favored by 4.5. I think they win by a field goal tonight. And the Jags and Co. just go back disappointed. But I want to buy my word. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to say fuck the field goal. Give me the Jags by a point. I think some trickery will go on. Give me the Jaguars tonight, man, because I don't believe in that Commander squad. You know, I was going to go with Commanders win, Jags lose, but no. Give me the Jaguars tonight. Give me Trevor Lawrence to go, man. Big win, big upset for the Jags, man. Now let's talk about Commanders Bengals, dog. Commanders, you know, had a bad week versus the Bucks. Bounce back, beat the Giants, man. Jaden Daniels and the team, they averaged 20.5 points per game, but they allow 27. As for the Bengals, offensively, it's been the complete opposite, man. Their defense has been performing a little better than their offense. 17.5 points scored per game, but they do get a big grab tonight as T. Higgins is back active. That's going to be big for them. Jamar Chase is still there to get all the catches and targets. Joe Burrow healthy, of course. Mike Gesicki. It's looking like it could be a fireworks show for the Bengals. As for the Commander side of things, you gotta hope Terry McLaurin can get back into things, get back into that offense, get his targets, get his catches, get back into the rhythm. Jaden Daniels, you just want to hope for a clean passing game. You just really don't want to walk out with him having 120 passing yards, 70 rushing yards, and you down a few touchdowns. You'd rather a clean offensive game from him. No turnovers, and just stay in the pocket and learn. I mean, this is a learning experience year one. He doesn't have to be perfect, But I'd rather see a rushing quarterback out of college like him really just be elite in the pocket. You know, I'm not saying he wasn't in college, and I'm not saying he can't be, but I would like to see him take progressions as the year goes on in the passing game, which I think he did last week compared to what he had versus the Bucks. But if I had to give a winner to this man, give me the Bengals by 10. I think it'd be a close game until the Bengals officially break off and T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Mike Gesicki, Joe Burrow all lock in. But give me the Bengals by 10, and let's dive into some Thursday Night Football to end it off. All right, last thing we talk about today, it's been football, 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 guys. I don't want to talk baseball until later this week on Friday, man. We'll be usually all teams will have a Friday night game or a Friday day game, Saturday day or night game, and then Sunday, I think they all play in the afternoon. So I'll talk about that on Friday when things get a little more clear with the regular season. As of now, a lot of things still complicated, and on Friday, either I will give a happy speech about the Royals or I will deliver a five speech. Then I'm talking about a real life speech. I got it in my notes. I'm disappointed. I'm angry. I'm a clipping and I'm a at big Royals account so the message gets through that how disappointed I am if they do miss the playoffs. But let's move on from that. We'll talk baseball this Friday. But Thursday night football, I realized I didn't talk about the Jets and Patriots last Monday. So let's do justice and talk the Cowboys and Giants, man. Cowboys coming off of back-to-back losses on the at home. They finally travel again as they head to New York. As for the Giants, who lost their first 2 weeks, they got a win versus the Browns on Sunday. I think all eyes are going to be on the receivers this game. Malik Nabers, CeeDee Lamb, I can't wait. Those guys are going to ball out. As for the rushing attacks, look a little shaky. Devin Singletary, Ezekiel Elliott, looking like a retirement home. But the Cowboys, they average 25.7 points a game. Giants, on the flip side, only average 15 so far. This could be a complete domination by the Cowboys, or we're sitting here and the Cowboys could be 1-3, or it's a very close game, but somehow Dak Prescott comes out the game looking good. But regardless of that, man, I think the Giants need this game at home. This can really flip around your season, give you so much momentum. As for the Cowboys, this is a make or break. You're 1-3. You lose to the Giants. You lose 3 weeks in a row. Things are going to get shaky in that organization, especially for the likes of Mike McCarthy. Dak Prescott on a new contract. He's kind of obligated to finish the year out no matter what. I don't care what anything says. He's going to finish the year out unless he stays healthy, unless he gets injured, excuse me. But I mean, if he fails this year again, don't make the playoffs or first round exit, I could see a trade, man. I think Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback, but why just deal with this mediocrity with a good roster if he can't deliver, especially Mike McCarthy? I think he's gone by, like I said, week 14. Hell, maybe earlier, but if I had to give you a winner, I'm gonna believe the Cowboys bounce back big. Give me them winning by 14. Can't give you really a score off the top of my head, but give me by multiple touchdowns for the Cowboys. The Giants, though, I could see them upsetting the Cowboys, but right now on Monday, I don't see anything changing for that to happen. And yeah, give me the Cowboys by a couple touchdowns. All right, guys. I mean, hey, if you made it this far, thank you so much. It's less than an hour episode, which I'm really happy about, but this is what happens when I don't talk about other stuff than football. Of course, I love talking about other news, and when the NBA comes around, I really will love to talk about that. I think this year I'm going to try to give my hardest to watch an NBA. I know it's not the best product of all time, especially last year and the previous years, but I'm going to try to give all 11 eyes I got. Don't question me or anything I just said, but I'm going to keep my eyes on the product this year and really try to get into it because I really do enjoy basketball, and if I really am into it, it will make buying league pass a lot easier, especially if I just want to watch the Rockets or whatever. But I don't know why I'm talking about basketball, excuse me. But anyways, yeah, today was a shorter episode, and I'm glad it was like that. Hopefully you guys enjoyed. Glad I can talk about Monday Night Football and Thursday Night Football. But on Friday, expect the same old preview in the weekend, talking about the Monday Night Football games and Thursday Night Football game, especially looking into the college football Friday and Saturday slate. And lastly, in the MLB, because by Friday, a lot of things can be shaped up for the playoffs. Teams out, teams in. Can't wait to see that. And it's going to be an interesting week of baseball as we lead into the playoffs and into the playoffs and eventually into the World Series. And by the World Series, you got the NBA back. You got football deep into it. The fall leaves are falling, man. It's a beautiful time for us sports heads. But if you guys listened all the way to the end, I want to thank you so much. As always, follow the podcast, share it, do whatever. Check your favorite timestamps. I got them always in the bio. And as always, guys, love and respect one another. Sorry for that little stutter, but once again, if I wasn't perfect today, I apologize about that. I'm not the best speaker of all time, and I'm a little shaky these first few months of the podcast, so once again, forgive me. But like always, love and respect one another. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support, and I'll catch you guys on Friday. Peace out.